take you on a little journey, and it won't be before you long. And I told you a few weeks ago I had a little testimony, and I thought about that old slogan I've heard folks say for a long time, be careful what you pray for, you just might get it. Well, stand here today to tell you some of the things that you get you didn't pray for. But life happens. But thanks be to God, we have a Savior that is there for us at all time. So let me take you on a little journey of what my last couple of weeks have been back. Many of you know, most of you know, on the 26th, I had a back operation. The operation went very successful. Everything went well. They sent me home the same day. I felt pretty good, you know, a little sore. Next day, they said, get out and move around, walk around. I did that in my yard, around the house. I had my sergeant of arms keep me straight, and I had the captain over here also keep me straight. So I wasn't going to go too far and do nothing wrong. They were on me like a force, but that's because they loved and care about me. But going into that 27th day, 28th day, 2 days afterwards, yeah. Man, I started having so much pain like never before, like racking with pain. I think I felt every nerve from my waist down, and there's hundreds and hundreds of nerves, to the point that I was in a fetal position, curled up like a baby, couldn't move, just got so bad, so bad. My wife doing all she could to take care of me, but it wasn't anything working. We decided we was going to go to the ER, of course, the ER here in Easton. Sent me back home, very useless. Said, call your doctor and follow up. Well, my doctor's clear in Baltimore and Mercy, and I need something now, instantly. Nothing happening. We make the call. So here's how it all began. This is the call. So when you call 911, this is what we get at dispatch, what they get. I, as the medic, will just run the call. But dispatch takes your call. So if you see down the bottom, the call was made at 1326 by Karen. Said there was a sick person. You give your age, and I'm going from bottom up. You give your age. They ask you, is that person conscious? Is that person breathing? Oh, that's a yes and a yes. What is the problem then? Problem is all the pain in his legs. Pretty sure she told him that he can't walk, whatever. And they made this a priority. Thank you, Steve. And they made this a priority. Leg pain. Not bleeding nor vomiting. Breathing normally. Responding normally. No evidence of corona, because that's a concern today. So, the call's made. 911. And for me to call in the cavalry, I'm feeling pretty bad. Because I take people. I don't ride to be that person. But, thanks be to God, when you got to go, you got to go. Ambulance comes in. Hauls me out of there. We go to East and nothing happens. Turned around next day, called my doctor. So then, he did call the house. Yeah. He says, get up here. He made a way for me to go, like an immediate up the floor. Didn't have to go through a whole lot. So, who would know, Steve? There I am. Not looking too happy, am I? Not feeling good at all. I don't even remember taking that picture. I really don't. But there I am in the hospital. Next. Who would know for the next 5.5, 6 days, this would be my view. 14th floor. I don't do heights very well, but it was a beautiful view of part of downtown Baltimore. However, I wasn't in the mood to really see the view. I was feeling bad. Next. My ride or dies were with me. That's my daughter, my one and only. Her name is Ratisha. She was going to be here today, but she got called into work. She's there by my side. Next. And, of course, my wife, doing all that she can. And, actually, this is a later picture because, as you see, I'm getting dressed there, but that's a later picture. But she was by my side every waking hour. Now, picture you laying in that bed, as I was in the beginning, and you've got cutting your back about what was that long is down about 6-7 inches, and a drain, a little round 6-inch cylinder, and it's about Concordian size, and day by day it goes bigger and bigger, and it fills with nothing but blood. So I ended up with what we call a hematoma, which is more or less like big spunk knot. Except mine was about the size of an IV bag. So picture you got a bag of IV laying in your back against your spine. That's how big it was, full of blood. Don't know why, but it developed, and that was putting the pain and the pressure on the nerves. Next. Family comes by, and they try to keep me going. I'm trying to smile, but I'm not really feeling it. That's my granddaughter in the black and her mom. So that's Raina and Catrice. They live in Baltimore. That's my oldest son's family. So they were there to keep me going. Next. I started around the corner a few days later. I'm happy there because that's the first meal I had in 30-some hours. Because I was 30-some hours on a liquid diet. Nothing, pretty much. Didn't want the Jell-O. Even the taste of Jell-O made me so sick. It was just... But when I started to come around and I saw that breakfast, I said, whoa, sausage. And I was starting to feel a little better. See the smile on my face? Mm-mm, good. Not at all. I was waiting on that. They didn't have to force that one on me. Like, food at last. Next. So I'm feeling pretty good. Big thumbs up. Happy guy. After 5.5 days, around the corner, and I'm heading home. So this is where I was heading home. It was the 14th floor medical surgical unit where all this stuff goes on. As you see right there, spine. That was the issue, all the pain on the spine. Got walker in hand in the wheelchair, and I'm like, let's get out of here. So we leave. We're happy. We're smiling. Thank God for my wife. And she decided... I said she decided, but I think it was a split decision that I deserved a treat going home. Blizzards all the way home. So I say, woo, thank God. Ice cream would always make you happy. Thank God for the wife. I get home and the love of the family. I found this on my front door thanks to my sisters, both sisters. My other sister couldn't make it today either. But they posted out on the door and... I'm a little softy as I get older. It made me cry. It just showed me how much I'm loved. And I appreciate it. You know, when you work so hard for everybody else and you're down, you learn to appreciate when people are in your corner. Look, talk them up. So they walk in. That's my sister Eunice, everybody. My aunt Tamsy. And Yolanda, my sister in Christ. So I appreciate everybody coming in. Amen. You guys are at the end of the presentation, but on the slideshow, but it's okay. Well, I said, yeah, they're laughing, but we were a little bit ahead. So I get in the house, and I take my balloons and everything. I'm sitting here, and I'm smiling. So thanks to COTK, I got the fruit going on. You know I wanted some meat, but that's okay because the pear, the first thing I ate out of it was a pear, and it was juicy and good. Got the big old back brace on and then telling me no bending, no twisting, no this, that, and the other. But at this point, I'm pretty happy. I don't care because I'm home. That was a long 5.5 days. More goodies. That came from work. And I'll be honest, we still have a lot of that. I've been sharing it because much as I like sweets and sugars, that was just too much. But it was just, I'm thankful. I'm really thankful. So here I am, back together, full speed ahead. Standing before you today, giving God all praise, giving God all honor, and giving God all glory. Yeah, give him a hand praise. He's good. If it had not been for him on my side, I don't know where I'd be. But thanks be to God. So I had what I call a little Job experience. So I want to speak to you a little bit today about a man named Job. And everybody knows the story of Job pretty much. But when I prayed about what I would speak about today, it took me to the 14th chapter. And it's verses 1 through 6 if you want to read along. If not, I'll read for you. And it reads thus. Man is born of a woman, is of a few days full of trouble. He comes forth like the flowers and then fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such one and bring me the judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, The number of his month is in you, and you appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest till like a hired man he finishes his day. Amen. So the story is pretty plain and simple. The opening statement said, a mortal that is born of a woman is of a few days, full of trouble. This was a really profound statement that Job had made to me, and it had a lot of truth to it. Anybody ever feel like you have some days of trouble that you just can't get by, that you just wonder when it's going to be done and over with, that you just say, Lord, I give it all to you? Just as we said before, we give it all to him on our hands and our knees with our hands lifted up, because the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. Lay everything down at his feet. Amen. And so though often we might live these what we call productive lives, still life can be full of troubles. Sometimes seems like it's so unfair. The challenges of the day. It may be sickness. It may be health problems, financial issues, family issues, all of which can lead to anxiety, can lead to frustration, can lead to hopelessness, and let's face it, just plain despair. And sometimes we don't want to be that, but God put these emotions in this body. So we can't hold those emotions back. And I said I was going to get up here today and I wasn't going to be a big baby, so I'm holding back some of that emotion. But y'all, you just don't know how grateful I am. I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that I had a family praying for me, immediate family and church family. And one thing I'll never forget is when I started venturing over here, Pastor Michelle said that she didn't want members, because members belong to a group, but we are family. Family is not considered members. Family is just considered to love one another. Iron sharpens iron. We're there to support one another. And I want you all to know there's anything that me and my wife can do for you, just call on us anytime, because you guys have been so supportive. I knew somebody was praying for me, because when you lay in a hospital bed in a fetal position like I was with all that pain that I can't even put a number on it, because most time when they asked me what was my pain, 10 out of 10, it was 10, 10, 10. And they kind of looked at me like, it ought to be getting better. And their study packing me full of all this medicine and oxycodone, which I hate, had me dreaming crazy things. I'm fighting people and biting people and all kind of crazy stuff. And I just couldn't do anything. And all that was doing was just making me more and more miserable day by day. But this morning I come to tell you that no matter how hard it is, how unfair the world may seem, how unpleasant things may seem to you, God offers you hope. Amen. Our dependency and our confidence in God should be as clear as a perspective as anything you have ever seen. When that despair is getting you down and you feel like you're at your very last, when you feel like you don't have but $5, but your bills say you got to pay thousands of dollars and you don't know what's going to happen, God is still there. He knew this day would come. The word says he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knows every hair on your head. Amen. So therefore, he's going to be there. But because we are housed in these old emotions, we sometimes feel like we can't make it. Much of the world is like that. It's just so disconnected to the essential lifeline of God. God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, everything there in between. Some are so disconnected that they can't even hear, see the clear view of life. The world wants everything to be self-reliant upon themselves in every aspect. Sometimes the world is just so self-centered and greedy. Me, me, me. They think that they do not need anything but whatever it is. I once had a guy told me that his savior was his Harley. Okay, if that's what you feel, get on that Harley and see if it saves you when you got that throttle wide open and somebody cuts you off. But that's what he actually told me. I was working office work then. I was like, okay, I don't know how the topic came up talking about it, but he said, my Harley's mine, my guy. I said, okay, that's the way you feel. Well, many don't pray and don't even think about praying until they find themselves in a spot where it's almost impossible to get out of. Then they want to call upon God. But guess what? Thanks be to God, he grants mercy, right? He's a merciful God, full of compassion. We don't always deserve it, but he gives it to us. Sometimes we're not deserving of it at all. But because he grants us compassion and mercy, we got to thank him for that. And thanks because we know him as our personal Savior. I feel for those who don't have the Lord as their Savior. And all we can do is pray for them. But that's the way it is in life. Some will, some won't. Many have heard about God, but they never have a true experience of knowing him. Often the world is self-reliant, like I said before, in their own aspect. And they think that they don't need anything to cling to. Folks often rely on the World Wide Web and all that it has to offer. Sitting within the confines of their own living room on Sunday morning, listening to the evangelistic program and going, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be around nobody. But what does the word say? Forsake not the gathering of the brethren. Amen. Because iron sharpens iron. Amen. So we sharpen one another. We cannot deny that the World Wide Web doesn't have things that it offers to us that is both important and much needed. Whoever created it, it had to be God sent. Because I can remember once a time when we didn't have that. We all in this room can remember not having it. But now that the instant of a push of a button in a computer, you can go anywhere around the world in an instant, find anything you want. And that's powerful. That had to come from God. He had to be the creator who put that in a man's mind to put that programming together. I admire how Steve runs the show every Sunday. He sits back there and he said he's going to teach it to me and I'm willing to learn, but it looks awful difficult to me because I'm telling you, you got to be techie. And he's real techie. He knows that stuff and he gets talking. I'm like, okay. But it's kind of like I got to hear that, you know, several times. But it's really much needed and people like that are needed. We appreciate you, brother. We appreciate you every Sunday morning. So not denying that it's not important. But it's not your true lifeline either. It's not the thing that's going to get you to eternity. I don't think there's going to be computers in heaven. I don't think we're going to be punching up. There won't be no need for it. But the true source is all we need, calling upon the name of Jesus. The source who can comfort us like we when we need it, like no other man and no other woman can. A source whose supplies are not unlimited. A source who will never leave you nor forsake you because that's his word. He's not a God that he can lie. A source that gives up the clarity of our visions during time of despair so that everything becomes more clearer and clearer. Like a foggy mirror. When you're in the bathroom taking a shower and it gets all foggy, but the moment you start to wipe it, you start to see yourself again. Amen. And sometimes life can be like that. But when you got God, you can always see a spot in the mirror clearer than you would without God. But see, Job, he knew who his source was, even though he had doubters on his side. He had his friends there in the presence, even his wife included, who told him, just curse God and die. Some support, huh? But maybe she was tired of hearing him whine. I don't know. Maybe he was whining so much that she said, oh, just curse God and die. I'm tired of hearing it. Karen said maybe she had insurance policy on him. I kind of doubt that, but now you're going to make me go home and check mine. I don't have that kind of wife, though. She's been so supportive. I can't say how grateful I am and thankful I am for being there every time. And I know I was getting on the nerves because I was just, yeah. A couple of times I told her, I said, honey, just go home. Go home, get some clothes. Because I knew I was getting on the nerves, but I was hurting. I was in a lot of pain. I just didn't, sometimes you don't even want to talk to nobody. You don't even want to answer anything. You don't want to hear anything. And I was getting there where I didn't want to hear her and she didn't want to hear me because every time I would get rested, here they come. Mr. Roberts, we got to take some blood. Mr. Roberts, we got to do this. I'm like, oh, my God, can I just get some rest? You got to go home to get rest because you don't get it in the hospital. But despite all that Job had and all that he once had and he lost, even his children unto death, he said, though they slay me, yet will I hope in him. Amen. God is our hope. Come on, give the Lord some hand praise right there. Even during a brief period of weariness, frustration, and all that he had going on, he did not expect an instant answer from God. He went through the suffering. You wonder how he did it sometime. I laid in that bed, racking in pain, in the fetal position, hurting. But all I knew was that if I could call upon the name of Jesus, and I did that several times, that's all I kept saying to myself, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he kept showing me these images. And after a while, I was like, what are you showing me? And it was, if I could touch the hem of his garment. You know, because I kept seeing this big reddish looking thing that was like laid out like a like a velvet rug of some sort. And it came to me, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, everything was going to be all right. So I just kept calling upon his name because that's all I could do. I knew I would get through it, but there was times when I didn't feel like it. In fact, I got so low one time, I said, Lord, if this is my time to go, just take me. I'm ready to go. And that's giving up. That's kind of like pretty bad. Job got like that a few times. After all, he was a devout man of God. He was well respected in his community, and everybody looked up to him. So you wouldn't expect that out of him. But sometimes when you're down that despair, you just say, Lord, let's just do it. Get it over with. That's why people who don't know God and don't have hope in God go out and do crazy things like commit suicide. We got to pray for people like that. Introduce somebody to him. So for a moment there, even Job lost his focus. But like today's age of instant gratification, he lost his focus on and didn't want to wait on God. Like I often say, today when we're in physical pain, distress, and when we're waiting, we have to be willing to wait and hear our answer from God. We lose patience. Sometimes we get in God's way and said, I'll do it myself. You ever done that when something, you're trying to figure out a solution to the plan? God's already got it figured out, but we don't wait on him. Sometimes we mess it up even worse by getting in his way, and we have to go through that lesson. But we want that instant gratification. We want that instant satisfaction. I call it today's microwave era, where we can put the food in the microwave, push a button, and if we want, manage to cook the whole meal in a matter of minutes. Wherein our moms back in the day stood over that stove and, boy, they worked it up in them pots and pans, and it tasted good. And I don't know about you, but a home-cooked meal, I'll beat some microwave meal any day. It might be fast, but it ain't the best. Amen. Thanks be to God, though. God is so compassionate. He is so good. He is so full of grace. He grants us the mercy, like I said before, that we don't always deserve. But thanks be to God, he gives us what we need right on time. We think we're going through the suffering, and sometimes we wonder why. But how many know sometimes when you go through the suffering, it's for a special reason. It's for somebody else. It's for you to give your testimony. The old saying is, no test, no testimony. Well, I knew I had a test. And I was like, what is behind this? And I almost said to Karen, well, won't you speak next Sunday? And I kept thinking way back when Pastor gave the assignment, what will I speak on? Not knowing I was going to go through some things. It would be easy to find something to speak on. So, but he was shaping it. He was shaping it all the time, you know. That's why I knew I would come out on the other side, but I just had to go through. Didn't complain. I might have murmured, but I didn't complain because I hurt so bad. But when you curl up in a fetal position and you're in that bed, and then they want to make you get up and move around, and you just want to lay there, and like them little kids, like, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. But you got to move. God's intent is always a positive way, though. God always will lead you to a better victory. Amen. The outcome will be better if we allow him. But we think that our suffering sometimes is the worst. But how many know that your suffering builds your faith? Because if you get through this one, you'll get through the next one. And you'll get through the next one. And you'll get through the next one. Be it to help others sometimes, that God's experience in life sometimes that he gives us, we have to fully depend on him to show us what it was. And sometimes you have to go back and say, okay, God, what was I supposed to get out of that? So I stand here today to tell you, I think my suffering and all that I went through was a testimony to tell others that he's no respecter of men. What he did for me, he'll do for you. Amen. And no matter how bad it seems, just like a mother said earlier that she saw some clarity to some things, felt like a weight lifted off of her. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit working. But we just have to be patient. Wherever the case is, know that he will be there. He'll take care of you, even in your valley low. We always can give God the glory on the mountaintops. It ain't God good. But what about when you're down in that valley low? When you got nothing but a little bit of change in your pocket, change gone strange, money looking funny. And you say, what am I going to do? But he'll work it out. All you got to do is keep on looking up, knowing that God will make things better. Having that relationship with God is far better than trying to know what the outcome is going to be or what he's going through. And that's what I was relying on. I was relying on my faith and my relationship that, okay, God, I'm going through this, but I know I'm going to make it through. I know I'm suffering and going through some pain right now, but I'm going to make it through. Because it wasn't upon the point of death. But I did say, if you're ready for me to go, I'm ready to go. So that was a good thing to me because it let me know that my faith is strong enough to know where I'm going to be in eternity. Amen? Not worrying about it. He's the only one that can see our future ahead anyway. So why are we always trying to see it? Why are we always trying to plan it? It's smart to make your plans, but you can't go beyond what God is going to allow you to do anyway, no matter what it seems like. When things just don't work out right, sometimes you just got to give up and stop and give it all to Him. We can't walk before Him because we have to walk with Him. We have to allow Him to work the plan out. So I say to you today in closing that the next time you're faced with some kind of trouble, some kind of difficulty, because it will come again. It will come again. When the times get rough and it seems like you just can't get anywhere in life, know that if you hold on your anchor, know that if you keep looking in that mirror and what looks foggy is going to sooner or later become clearer and clearer, prayer by prayer, faith by faith. Sometimes you got to just refocus your spiritual lenses. It may not look like it is on this side, but you wipe it on this side and you look over here. You say, oh, okay, God. Knowing that He's an ever-present help in your times of trouble, that He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He sits high and He looks low. Know that He's there for you no matter. No doubt about it. Keep the faith. Keep your hand in God's hand and keep looking up and it's all going to work out. Amen. 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 God bless you. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and take our communion. And as they come up and get prepared, prepare your hearts. Bread. Yeah, I guess I should, huh? Thank you. Grape juice. Thank you. So as they come around here at COTK, we have the choice, wine or grape juice. So this is symbolic of the Lord's Supper. And as they pass out supplements, 1 Corinthians 11:23 reminds us, and it reads as thus, "For I received from you the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night that He was betrayed, He took the bread," hold your bread up, "and when He had given thanks, He took the bread, He broke it, and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. You may eat your bread." And likewise, He also took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me, for as often as you eat the bread and often as you drink from this cup, you do it in remembrance of Me until the Lord comes and claims death." Amen? Drink your wine. Cracker got a little dry that time. Couldn't get it out. Amen. So I thank everyone for being here today, for hearing my testimony and all that I had to share. I can't again reiterate and thank you so much, especially my family who's there to support me. My Aunt Tansy's like my second mom. She was the one that took care of me when I was a little thing and still there, so we're all neighbors, my sister, my ride or die, and of course, both sisters and my wife. Thank you so much for all the support. And the COTK family, I knew you were praying for me, and I greatly, greatly appreciate it. And I mean it when I say, is there anything we can do for you? Let us know. Amen. So let us look to the Lord and be dismissed. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that your compassions are new on today, Lord God, that you grant us mercies, Father God, mercies that we don't always deserve, Father God. But because you love us so much, because you are true, true loving God, Lord God, we thank you and we appreciate it. We're in all of you, Lord God. Now cover us, Lord God, as we leave this place, but never from your presence. Cover our pastor, Lord God, and her husband on their sabbatical, Lord. Let them be enjoying themselves, Father God. Let them unwind, Lord God. May they just laugh until their stomach hurts and just enjoy life together. Relax it on the beach, whatever they choose to do, Lord God. Bless, Father God, their family, Lord God, and each and every family here, Lord God, is represented on the day. Give us travel mercies as we go. May we go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.